Welcome to another edition of what I call American Exposé. This is Chris Kerner speaking to you on the 25th of August, 2005. Well, the time sure does fly these days. Day after day, week after week just goes by as we anticipate, manipulate, and direct our time as we want to and have to, depending on our circumstances. I received an email from someone today. I'm not going to answer it. I want you to answer it. The call-in number is 559-781-3773. 559-781-3773. Nicholas is on hand. 559-781-3773. I'm a new listener. I am not that clear on Agenda 21. However, I do understand the UN agenda to control us and to create a global state. One thing troubles me. You speak as if protecting our natural resources from greedy corporations is a bad thing. If we allow our resources to be chopped up, we will have no food, water, or fresh oxygen. If we didn't protect land here, where I live, I would have not forests to hike in, to study God's creation, or enjoy many of the free pleasures. I'm confused about your behavior, meaning me. Protecting our environment and respecting other living things is a good thing, a very good thing, and indeed, it is God's will. Why would a creator put things here if they were meant to be abused? We live in a natural system. Please explain yourself. And I'm just going to let you explain it to us. Anybody care to venture on that one? I did direct him to the Hegelian dialectic. And certainly many of you are well aware of the situation that we have today. Out of Novosti, Russian News and Information Agency, dated today, U.S. Senator Richard Lugar will visit Russia from August 26th to the 28th to inspect progress of the U.S.-funded non-Lugar weapons decommissioning program, the U.S. Embassy in Moscow said Wednesday. During his visit, Lugar will meet several Russian officials and visit sites scheduled to receive receive financing through the Nunn-Lugar Cooperative Threat Reduction Program for destroying nuclear weapons and materials. In other words, we're funding the disarmament of Russia of what they feel is unnecessary for them to still have, and we're going to fund it to continue to collapse our economy financially, which is already a done deal. Lugar, who chairs the U.S. Senate Foreign Relations Committee, will leave Moscow for Kiev on August 28th. In October 1992, a law was passed. October 1992 in the U.S., through which programs were created aimed at supporting the free market and democratic reform in Russia and other CIS countries. I would say CIS is the Commonwealth of Independent States, which is a fraud. As an amendment to this law, the Nunn-Lugar program for helping Russia to decommission its nuclear weapons and materials in accordance with Russia's obligations under international agreements was established. That's the UN system that he's talking about. International agreements is the UN system. A Russian satellite country is always in charge of the Security Council at the UN, according to many sources. Is that the way it is? Israelis finished Gaza withdrawal. Mounds of rubble are all that remain Monday of a once thriving Jewish settlement in Morag in the southern Gaza Strip. Israeli bulldozers started leveling the homes Sunday. So what's happening is this one particular town has been leveled. People have been moved. They've been moved to a sustainable community. Is this area that's been bulldozed, is it going to be rebuilt on, or is it just going to stay back to its normal state from before it was built upon? That's the question. Elephants to go to larger reserve from a Nairobi, Kenya, listeners. The Kenyan Wildlife Service will move 400 elephants hundreds of miles to the nation's largest animal reserve from a smaller park that has been holding too many of the animals. A spokesman said Monday, the $3.2 million exercise will begin Thursday and involve transporting elephants 218 miles to the northern part of Tsavo East National Park. The environmental movement, Agenda 21, the rewilding project, more than likely well-engineered in Nairobi, Kenya. Here we see in yesterday's paper, actually it was Tuesday's paper, Bush compares Iraqi war to others. President Bush compared the fight against terrorism to both world wars and other great conflicts of the 20th century as he tried to reassure an increasingly skeptical public Monday to support U.S. military involvement in Iraq. Bush acknowledged the fighting in Iraq is difficult and dangerous, but he told the veterans of foreign wars, National Convention, the fight is necessary to keep terrorists out of the United States. That is an insane statement to make. That is absolutely an insane statement to make. How can people be so stupid to accept what this man says? How can people accept what this man says? When we have Executive Order 13107, implementation of human rights treaties from 1998, December 10th, you've heard me say it over and over again. We have the governor of Arizona, the governor of New Mexico, declaring a state of national emergency at their border. And so we have this whole setup scenario. We have this international zone on east and west. Border Region 21 is what it started out as, and then Border 21. Now, according to Darren Weeks, Border 2012. An international zone, 150 miles on this side, 62.5 miles south of the border. And so he says, he told the Veterans of Foreign Wars National Convention the fight is necessary to keep terrorists out of the United States. How many terrorists are in the United States, which is a federal corporation? As he did in last year's election campaign and more recently, as war opposition has risen, Bush reminded his listeners of the terrorist attacks of September 11, 2001, reciting the date five times in a 30-minute speech. What was that all about? What was that all about, listeners? Well, I suggest listen to this. U.S. State Department, or U.S. Department of State, U.S. report to the U.N. Counterterrorism Committee. Report to the Counterterrorism Committee pursuant to paragraph 6 of Security Resolution, or Security Council Resolution 1373, dated 28 September 2001. Implementation of UNSCR 1373. December 19, 2001 is what it says here. On the day after the heinous September 11th terrorist attacks in Washington and New York, the General Assembly of the United Nations, by consensus of the 189 member states, called for international cooperation to prevent and eradicate acts of terrorism and to hold accountable the perpetrators and those who harbor or support them. That same day, the United Nations Security Council unanimously determined, for the first time ever, any act of international terrorism to be a threat to international peace and security. This determination laid the foundation for Security Council action to bring together the international community under a common set of obligations in the fight to end international terrorism. This is the UN system, listeners. That's why we're over in the Middle East, for the UN system, people. On September 28, 2001, the Security Council unanimously adopted Resolution 1373 under Chapter 7 of the Charter of the United Nations. This historic resolution established a body of legally binding obligations to all UN member states. It defined the common core of the new international campaign to deal with international terrorists, their organizations, and those who support them. What is the definition of a terrorism, listeners? Its provisions require, among other things, that all member states prevent the financing of terrorism and deny safe haven to terrorists. States will need to review and strengthen their border security operations, banking practices, customs and immigration procedures, law enforcement and intelligence cooperation, and arms transfer controls. All states are called upon to increase cooperation and share pertinent information with respect to these efforts. Resolution 1373 also mandated that each state report on the steps it had taken and established a committee of the Security Council to monitor implementation. The committee will highlight best practices, identify gaps, and help coordinate advice and assistance to states that need it. Full implementation of Resolution 1373 will require each UN member state to take specific measures to combat terrorism. Most states will have to make changes in their laws, regulations, and practices. And there's the terrorism, or the Patriot Act, listeners. Patriot Act 1 and 2. Most states will have to make changes in their laws, regulations, and practices. Keep in mind, as I always say before, and you realize it by now, most of you regular listeners, states are countries in the UN's eyes. All makes sense. Those with the capacity to assist in these changes will be needed to help those who lack the expertise and resources to achieve full implementation. As this report that follows makes clear, the United States is ready to provide technical assistance to help in these efforts. We will work closely with other nations who also have the capacity to assist, and with those seeking assistance. Cooperation is key to success. And listeners, the whole point about all this is the whole totalitarian control and manipulation of mankind has never stopped. It's been going on for decades and decades and decades and decades. That goes back a long way. I don't like to take it any further back to 1913, and you know why. We need to increase our numbers. That's all there is to it. There's no other way around it. It has to be done. Has to be done, people. So the creation of terrorism, which has been an ongoing deal for 30-some years, terrorist acts were going on during the Vietnam War. Terrorist acts have been thought about in the past. Keep in mind, we have a concentration camp program in America, all ready to deal with us as the time progresses. So keep that in mind as well. Here we see, dated August 13th, and I'm going to come back to this U.N. report, or U.S. report to the U.N. Counterterrorism Committee from the State Department. But according to Free Market News Network, martial law, according to a Washington Post story this week, it may not be too far-fetched, as the Pentagon is actually already making contingency plans for such conditions. The front page article is written by Post reporter Bradley Graham from his recent tour of NORTHCOM headquarters at Peterson Air Force Base. Graham cites sources working at the headquarters of the military's Northern Command, NORTHCOM, located in Colorado Springs, Colorado. Terrorist acts could be used as the justification for imposing martial law on cities, regions, or the entire country. The plans themselves are, of course, classified, but, quote, officers who drafted the plans, end quote, gave him the details. According to the analysis of at least one website commentator, this seems, quote, a deliberate leak conducted for the purpose of accustoming the American population to the prospect of military rule, end quote. We've only been considering it for years. We only know that it was planned 4 years ago. Rex 84... Remember Rex 84, listeners. Remember the concentration camp program lawsuit by William Pabst in 1976, where Donald Rumsfeld, Secretary of Defense, Gerald Ford, President. I don't think Henry Kissinger was Secretary of State, but I think he was, now that I think about it. Henry Kissinger, Secretary of State, they're all being sued by William Pabst in 1976. No one knows what happened to Dr. Pabst. Listeners, concentration camps program in America, it's a done deal. Those who try to research concentration camps find out for themselves that it's true. They go to research to debunk it, and they find out it is true. The two plans provide for what several senior officers acknowledge is the likelihood that the military will have to take charge in some situations, especially with dealing with mass casualty attacks that could quickly overwhelm civilian resources. They outlined 15 potential crisis scenarios, ranging from low-end, relatively modest crowd control missions to high-end, after as many as 3 simultaneous catastrophic mass casualty events, such as a nuclear, biological, or chemical weapons attack. In each case, the military would deploy a quick reaction force of as many as 3,000 troops per attack, 9,000 total in the worst-case scenario, with more troops made available as needed. And keep in mind, once again, listeners, all these created attacks, all these created directions, all this direction to implement the control of mankind and reduce the population. You new people that have never heard or hardly heard what I do and the website, AmericanExpose.com, American spelled with a K, not a C, go down to the Iron Mountain Report and listen to the 45-minute presentation that Sid Tolbert did back in 1996. The Iron Mountain Report. It is just as relevant today, if not more so, than it was back in 1996. More relevant today because we're closer to a scenario, a combination of scenarios, a combination of created events to bring us to our knees, to bring all the countries of the world together in a UN global neighborhood. The Post quotes Admiral Timothy J. Keating, head of NORTHCOM, quote, "In my estimation, in the event of a biological, chemical, or nuclear attack in any of the 50 states, the Department of Defense is best positioned of the various 8 federal agencies that would be involved to take the lead," end quote. According to the article, about 1,400 National Guard troops have been formed into a dozen regional response units with smaller quick reaction forces in each of the 50 states. NORTHCOM may also mobilize 4 active duty Army battalions, as well as Navy and Coast Guard ships and air defense fighter jets, in order to get around the limitations on using military or domestic policing. In other words, eliminating posse comitatus. The plans might call for using the National Guard, which is exempt from such limitations. Quote, Keating cited a potential situation in which Guard units might begin rounding up people while regular forces could not, end quote, Graham wrote. That is ominous in its situation. Now, I go back to the paragraph I just covered, dated 19 December 2001, U.S. report to the U.N. Counterterrorism Committee. Full implementation of Resolution 1373 will require each U.N. member state to take specific measures to combat terrorism. Most states will have to make changes in their laws, regulations, and practices, and what I refer to as Patriot Act 1 and 2. Those with the capacity to assist in these changes will be needed to help those who lack the expertise and resources to achieve full implementation. As this report that follows makes clear, the United States is ready to provide technical assistance to help in these efforts. We will work closely with other nations who also have the capacity to assist, and with those seeking assistance, cooperation is key to success. It will be especially important that these efforts be sustained in the coming months and years. The goal should be to ensure through the UN that enduring mechanisms are created and that existing institutions are utilized to raise the capacity of all nations to confront the threat of terrorism. As UNSCR 1373 recognizes, there will be a need for enhanced coordination of efforts at national, subregional, regional, and global levels. The United States is waging a broad-ranging campaign, both at home and abroad, against terrorism, including by taking military action in Afghanistan. Oh, boy. As another way of combating terrorism internationally, the United States strongly supports UN Security Council Resolution 1373 and the Counterterrorist Committee set up by the resolution, and wishes to see full implementation by all states. As President Bush has promised, quote, we will direct every resource at our command, every means of diplomacy, every tool of intelligence, every instrument of law enforcement, every financial influence, and every necessary weapon of war to the disruption and to the defeat of the global terror network, end quote. From the U.S. Department of State, listeners, U.S. report to the U.N. Counterterrorism Committee, 19 December 2001. Let me continue. Our report details only some of the many steps that have been taken, or we have been taking, to combat terrorism and comply with U.N. Security Council Resolution 1373, but we intend to do even more to ensure that we have taken all appropriate measures, and the following is a list of some of the steps taken, which are detailed in this report. On September 23rd, Executive Order 13224 froze all assets of 27 foreign individuals, groups, and entities linked to terrorist acts or supporting terrorism, and you know, I'll tell you what, I'm out of time with this direction that I have to take at this point in time. I'm afraid you will have to do some more of this, or you'll have to research this for yourself. It's on unattractive.com, un-attractive.com. You'll find it, research it, read it, look it up. You'll realize where we are today and the situation in place. Very, very, very important. Very important, people. Okay. Let's see. Where do I want to go from here? Tropical Storm Katrina nears Florida, listeners. Battle escalates over flyers' personal data. Full covers hurricanes and tropical storms. You can find this on the website, dated today, August 25th. Very, very important. You have the Gateway to Development Information Sustainable Institute, United Nations Association of the United States of America, UNA-USA. You have Privacy Rights Clearinghouse. And as a result of what I just covered, we'll deal with this a little bit more, too. But in the meantime, let's jump over to Nancy Levant. In October 2004, the FDA approved an implantable microchip for use in humans, a tiny subcutaneous RFID tag, now made by several American companies like Applied Digital Solutions, Verichip, and Digital Angel, are mass-producing RFID chips in stocking chip warehouses and implementation centers. Upper-level governmental officials are getting chipped to demonstrate public acceptance of the technology, and they are very quick to highlight the humanitarian uses of tracking devices in humans. Children and pets should be chipped in case they are lost. Chipping children will help to locate kidnapped kids. Chipping senior citizens give hospitals immediate access to their medical records. Many millionaires and their children are chipping themselves for security reasons. Large herds of cattle and sheep are implanted to assist ranchers and farmers with efficient tracking. Security, Medicaid, and emergency applications seem to be call of the corporations and their governmental backers when it comes to the new branding technologies. But for American citizens, it is first and foremost an outrage, unthinkable, immoral, and for many of its it is demonic. RFID technology is everywhere. It's in the cars that we drive, in the products sold at Walmart, in our cell phones, and in many other applications. But the Digital Angel chip takes implementation technology to a whole new level of abuse. Digital Angel combined advanced biosensor technology and web-enabled wireless telecommunications that are linked to global positioning systems. The chip, utilizing advanced biosensor capabilities, can monitor body functions and transmit the data anywhere in the world while giving out accurate location information to a ground station or monitoring facility. Keep in mind Chapter 40 of Agenda 21. I've covered that this week. If that is not the death to privacy, what is? If corporations can monitor our body functions and our locations 24 hours a day and year after year, then what is privacy? Now let's add the Verichips and other biometric technologies which identify humans by unique biological or physical characteristics such as fingerprints, voice prints, retina characteristics, and face recognition points. All this multi-billion-dollar technology to safeguard millionaires, to track lost children and pets, to track child molesters, and to help seniors. If you believe that, then I've got some wetland to sell you in a biosphere reserve. Much more to do tonight, listeners. Much more to do all the time on AmericanExpose.com. Chapter 30 of Agenda 21 coming up as well.
The opinions expressed are those of the hosts and guests and are not necessarily those of the First Amendment Radio Network or its affiliated radio stations.
Since the beginning of time, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, It has been borrowed. It has been purchased. It has been stolen. There's a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and to our posterity. Invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188 or visit discountgoldandsilvertrading.net. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, and regular guest, world-renowned economist Robert Chapman, right here on FirstAmendmentRadio.com and WBCQ Shortwave at 4 p.m. Eastern or 1 p.m. Pacific Time. Visit discountgoldandsilvertrading.net or call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, 1-800-375-4188. Get ready for the 10th Annual Old Pass Christian History Conference, hosted by the Church at Cahuilla, coming the weekend of October 1st and 2nd. Guest speakers will be John Weaver, the author of The Christian and Civil Government. Pastor Weaver's preaching style is in the tradition of those early colonial pastors whose pulpits were the cradle of America's liberty. Thomas McConnell is a noted speaker on biblical covenantalism and economics. John Quaid, he has taken his passion for God's law into practical application for everyday life, and others. Children are welcome. There is plenty of RV parking and tent camping. For more information, and if you would like to receive a brochure, call Pastor Warren Mark Campbell at 559-561-0802 or visit the FirstAmendmentRadio.com homepage for more information. Thank you.
PokerFace.com is the group, and their website, PokerFace.com, is there for you, and they need everyone's support. Back to Nancy Levant. Always remember this, RFID technology was created and tested prior to 9/11, and 9/11 has been the primary excuse for human tracking. And laughingly, so has illegal immigration, which clearly is not illegal, as our borders are to remain open. She puts it together very, very well, listeners. We don't even know each other. She's right on target. It is time for all American citizens to stop with the naivety. It is time to recognize a government that is deviously linked to and in bed with corporations that intend to rule over all human beings. And please remember that Social Security cards were never meant to be mandatory, nor were driver's licenses or bank cards. But try getting by one day without them. Banking is slated to become a totally RFID operation with chips implanted into the hands of those with bank accounts. Try getting by without a bank account when you send your bill payments to account centers across the country. And also keep in mind that the U.S. Postal Service is also in the process of RFID smart mail tracking. And the writing is on the wall again, and the writing clearly states that our government does not serve the well-being of its citizens, but rather the intentions of corporations, databases, and law enforcement. Equally, our schools have partnered with RFID corporations, as many school children now wear mandatory RFID tags in schools. Remember that schools are government institutions, so requiring students to wear tracking devices is a governmental mandate. Will this technology be mandated for our right to drive, for our right to buy and sell, for our right to receive medical treatment, for our right to travel, for our right to buy gasoline? Take a wild guess. Keep in mind, your vaccinations have to be up to date in order to do all the previous functions that were just described here as I interject. And gun owners, heads up. On April 13, 2004, Applied Digital Solutions announced that its wholly owned subsidiary, VeriChip Corporation, has entered into a memorandum of understanding with the FN Manufacturing, a leading gun manufacturer, to develop a first in the world of firearms. Their objective is an integrated user authorization system for firearms using VeriChip RFID technology. You shall be chipped in order to keep and bear. And you had to know that this was coming, considering the 30-year nonstop efforts to deny you of your Second Amendment rights. Keep in mind, listeners, the Gun Control Act of 1968, people. Also remember, a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Little known also is the global aspect of RFID chipping technology and efforts. Mexico is on the mission to chip all children due to a high rate of kidnappings. Subdermal personal verification technology is being used in Russia, Switzerland, China, Ecuador, Italy, Spain, Argentina, Canada, Paraguay, Uruguay, Brazil, Germany, England, Taiwan, Saudi Arabia, Africa, South Korea, and on and on. And what does that connect to, listeners? Chapter 40 of Agenda 21, Information for Decision Making. RFID and chipping industries include banks, gas stations, hospitals, social security numbers, and driver's licenses, passports, schools, military, including our soldiers and our enemies, automobiles, telephones and cell phones, televisions, computer systems, prisons, schools, preschools, government, all workplaces and corporations, bars, restaurants, country clubs, and other private clubs. Or in other words, it's everywhere. But like all the other global infrastructures that were slid beneath us by our government and its corporations, RFID technology and human chipping is mostly blacked out via media so that we do not know their truth and the horrible extent of that truth. And I beg you, my dear American people, do not spend one more day ignoring what you know to be true. America is being conquered from within, as so many have said would, in fact, occur. Can you not see that there is a mad rush to implement the final structures necessary to recreate America, our beliefs and values, our constitutional rights, and to take every ounce of our privacy? Connect all the dots and you see in America all the changes and daily dismissal of our voting rights under memorandums of understanding, NGOs, non-governmental organizations, stakeholding groups, councils, and other consensus operations. Besides our lives, perhaps the most important gift from our Maker is the gift of free will, for without it, we are unable to pass our life's test without free will. We are nothing more than robotic creatures that must respond as mandated by enslavers and their technologies. If we become implanted people, we are enslaved people, mind, body, and soul. You cannot take free will from people and call it progress, science, or protection. You can only call it anti-God, which is, of course, the ultimate goal. That was a guest commentary by Nancy Levant, Implanting Citizens with VeriChips, The Taking of Free Will, April 25th, 2005. The beat goes on. Let's go to this, monitoring Americans then and now, from American Radio Works, a radio documentary by John Bewin and Robert O'Hara, Jr. In the 1960s and 70s, the FBI under J. Edgar Hoover spied on thousands of Americans whose politics were considered suspect. It worked actively to disrupt not only violent radical organizations, but also law-abiding civil rights and anti-war groups. Driven by crime-fighting and anti-communist zeal, Hoover's orders violated the Constitution and the expectation of law-abiding citizens to be left alone. There's wide agreement that after 9/11, the government needed to do a better job of identifying threats on American soil through the use of information technology. But since these technologies in effect monitor almost everyone, some people worry about the potential for new abuses. Keep in mind, listeners, Viet Dinh was a primary author of the U.S. Patriot Act. He's a Vietnamese. Sad commentary to have, listeners. Hank Ashner has made a fortune in the data business and lives like it. His 65-foot fishing boat has four cabins and a gleaming kitchen, satellite internet, and eight phone lines. Asher was spending a lot of time on his boat before 9/11. After the attacks, he says, he felt called to enlist the fight against terrorism, offering his powerful data searching system to the government as a weapon. But there's some irony in Hank Asher's new role as a crime-fighting and national security whiz. If Asher's supercomputers were used to conduct a background check on Asher himself, he might reveal his association with drug smugglers. According to confidential Florida police documents and interviews with law enforcement authorities and Asher, in the early 1980s, Asher flew planes to and from Central and South America carrying marijuana and cocaine. He says he regrets that episode of his life and blames it on a hunger for adventure. Quote, I feel like, quote, I didn't feel like I had done a crime, end quote, Asher explains, until it occurred to me I had just done a crime. I was a criminal, and I can tell you that since June of 1982, I have never broken the law, end quote. Asher has never was never arrested or charged. He worked hard to make amends, giving generously to police groups and other charities. He's also given hundreds of thousands of dollars to campaign contributions to politicians in both major parties. Asher's rehabilitation seemed complete in January of 2003 when he flew to Washington, D.C. for a meeting at the White House. He and his colleague from his company, Sysint, were invited to demonstrate a powerful information system Asher had invented and built as a counterterrorism tool. The entrepreneurs were escorted by Jeb Bush, the Florida governor, and the president's brother. Quote, we were waiting, says Asher, and then all of a sudden the entourage of Dick Cheney and his people, all the Homeland Security people were there, Tom Ridge was there, Mueller came in, we all sat down, end quote. That is Robert Mueller, the FBI director. Also at the meeting was Tim Moore, commissioner of the Florida Department of Law Enforcement, and a friend of Hank Asher's. Asher continues, quote, Governor Bush started it with saying that Commissioner Moore and FDLE, working especially with Sysnet, have come up with what we feel is a very important tool for this country, end quote. The fact that that meeting took place shows how determined government leaders are to use these tools in fighting what they consider a new kind of war. The government knew Hank Asher's history, the Law Enforcement Administration, among other agencies, and once severed ties with Asher's company, citing allegations of a law-breaking past. Now top law enforcement and national security officers are embracing him. Now, let me go back to this. U.S. report on counterterrorism committees. That's a U.S. report to the U.N. Counterterrorism Committee, December 19, 2001. Steps taken by the U.S. on September 23, 2001, Executive Order 13224 froze all assets of 27 foreign individuals, groups and entities linked to terrorist attacks or supporting terrorism, and authorize the freezing of assets of those who commit or pose a significant threat of committing acts of terrorism. On September 28th, the U.S. sponsored the U.N. Security Council Resolution 1373. The U.S. sponsored, listeners, the U.S. sponsored U.N. Security Council Resolution 1373, calling on all U.N. members to criminalize the provision of funds to all terrorists, effectively denying terrorists safe financial haven anywhere. On October 5, 2001, the Secretary of State, in consultation with the Attorney General and the Secretary of the Treasury, redesigned 25 terrorist organizations. Redesignated 25 terrorist organizations, including Al-Qaeda, as foreign terrorist organizations. Pursuant to the Anti-Terrorism and Effective Death Penalty Act of 1996, giving material support to resources to any of these foreign organizations is a felony under U.S. law. On October 12th, the U.S. added 39 names to the list of individuals and organizations linked to terrorism or terrorist financing under Executive Order 13224. On October 26th, the U.S. enacted the USA Patriot Act, which significantly expanded the ability of U.S. law enforcement to investigate and prosecute persons who engage in terrorist attacks or terrorist acts. Who are the terrorist people? Who is the terrorist out there? Anti-government people are terrorists. I'm not anti-government. I'm anti-corruption in government. But it doesn't matter to the government. That's why it's so important to increase our numbers. What's the point unless we do? Why do I do this unless we do increase our numbers? Why do I give Darren a show? Because he needs a show. He needs to speak out, as others need to speak out. On October 29th, the U.S. created a foreign terrorist tracking task force aimed at denying entry into the U.S. of persons suspected of being terrorists and locating, detaining, prosecuting, and deporting terrorists already in the U.S. That's laughable. That's insane. That's ridiculous. That's redundant. That's stupid. As the governor of New Mexico, the governor of Arizona have declared states of national emergency at their border. The governor of Texas is reluctant to do so. On November 2nd, the U.S. designated 22 terrorist organizations located throughout the world under Executive Order 13224, thus highlighting the need to focus on terrorist organizations worldwide. On November 7, 2001, the U.S. added 62 new organizations and individuals, all of whom were either linked to the Al-Baqarat conglomerate or the Al-Taqwa Bank, which have been identified as supplying funds to terrorists. It'll happen to all of us someday if we're not careful. If we don't increase our numbers, if those on the inside don't know what they're a part of, it will happen. On December 4th, the U.S. froze under Executive Order 13224 the assets and accounts of the Holy Land Foundation in Richardson, Texas, whose funds were used to support the Hamas terrorist organization and two other entities, bringing the total to 153. On December 5th, 2001, the Secretary of State designated 39 groups as terrorist organizations under the Immigration and Nationality Act, as amended by the new USA Patriot Act, in order to strengthen the United States' ability to exclude supporters of terrorism or to deport them if they are found within our borders. We call the list of such designated organizations as Terrorist Exclusion List. All this is all about, people, is implementing Chapter 40 and all chapters of Agenda 21. That is the plan. That's the way it is. Do your research. If you don't, why even listen? You need to do research. Never in human history has it been easier to do research, to document directions in place. The U.S. has signed and expects to ratify in the near future the U.N. Convention on the Suppression of the Financing of Terrorism and the U.N. Convention for the Suppression of Terrorist Bombings. The U.S. has met with numerous multilateral groups and regional organizations to accelerate the exchange of operational information, as mentioned, in UN Security Council Resolution 1373. U.S. has stepped up bilateral information exchanges through law enforcement and intelligence channels to prevent terrorist acts and to investigate and prosecute perpetrators of terrorist acts. Our Federal Bureau of Investigation has created an interagency financial investigation group to examine the financial arrangements used to support the terrorist attacks. The FBI headquarters houses this group, which includes analysts and investigators from numerous federal agencies and federal prosecutors with background in investigating and prosecuting financial crimes. The U.S. brought to conclusion the prosecution of four Al-Qaeda members for the bombing of U.S. embassies in Dar es Salaam and Nairobi. We have designed a new tamper-resistant U.S. visa and have upgraded passports to prevent photo substitution. We've intensified border discussions with Canada, Mexico to improve border security. Ha! Huh. That's a laugh and a half. And how about that ruling on Nethercutt's property, giving it to the people he gave aid to, by Morris Dees of the Southern Poverty Law Center? UN Security Council Resolution 1373, Operative Paragraph 1A. What measures, if any, have been taken to prevent and suppress the financing of terrorist acts in addition to those listed in your responses to questions on 1B and D, or 1B to D? The assault on the financial underpinnings of terrorism is central to U.S. efforts to fight terrorists and their supporters with every available weapon. Through the September 23rd executive order freezing U.S. assets of designated individuals and organizations that commit terrorist acts or fund terrorism and other measures, the U.S. has taken concrete action internally to combat and financing terrorist entities. The U.S. also works closely with governments around the world to identify and freezing terrorist assets. The U.S. has contacted almost every other U.N. member state to encourage them to identify and freeze terrorist assets through implementation of the U.N. Security Council resolutions and other means. So we have a list of U.S. actions, and certainly President Bush signed Executive Order 13224 on September 23rd, pursuant to his authority under the International Emergency Economic Powers Act, the IEEPA. The order blocks all property and interest in property of foreign persons and entities designated by the President in the executive order. And this is just page 3 of 15 pages of this document. U.S. Department of State report to U.N. Commission, I'm sorry, report to the U.N. Counterterrorism Committee, December 19, 2001. Just 3 pages. Actually, it's just 2 pages. So, back to American Radio Works and speeches after 9/11, and obviously we're going to stay glued to this direction. In speeches after 9/11, Attorney General John Ashcroft talked about the need to think outside the box while staying within the Constitution. Oh, man, sitting in his office at the Justice Department, Ashcroft defended the appropriateness of working with a one-time drug smuggler. Quote, "We're very conscious of the responsibility we have to defend the American people from an attack on terrorists," end quote, Ashcroft wrote. Quote, "And we are not in the business of disqualifying technology by the author. We are in the business of using technology based on its ability to help the American people," end quote. What are they going to help the American people do here? Help the American people to be controlled by the federal government, to be monitored by the federal government 24 hours a day, wherever they are, any time of the day, any time of the week, any time of the month, any time of the year. Remember the program Hank Asher created after 9/11, the one that combed through huge criminal and commercial databases to find people with certain telling characteristics? Over the following months, Asher and Sissent developed that program into something eventually dubbed Matrix. Quote, "Just to run, it makes me excited," says Asher, "to know that we built it, just blows me away. It's a beautiful piece of technology. It's a thousand beautiful pieces of technology connected together in a very smart way, end quote. What does Matrix do? An investigator sits down at a computer and types in fragments of evidence about a suspect, hair color, a digit or two from a license plate, maybe a history of flying to a certain foreign country. Within seconds, up pops a driver's license photo along with a rich dossier, all the suspect's addresses, past and present, the vehicles he's owned, and business and financial information. The company Asher started, Cessant, refused to show the system to reporters, but those who have seen Matrix tend to rave. Okay, listeners, as we wrap it up today, it's just amazing how things are, how things are being developed at us and on us on a daily basis, and that is the problem. It's amazing how things are being engineered today. I didn't get to Chapter 30 of Agenda 21. I will. I'm sorry, but the 40 chapters of Agenda 21 are well in place, well engineered, well developed, underway 13 years into place, and most Americans have no clue about it. It is a sad commentary to have at this point in time how this is being driven. Why is it such a secret? Why isn't it consistent with people being concerned about it, when others that research it do become concerned about it? This information is on the website that I've covered today. This U.S. report to the U.N. Commission on Counterterrorism Committee, December 19, 2001, is on un-attractive.com. You can finish up this article from No Place to Hide, American Radio Works, yourself on AmericanExpose.com. Much to do, people. Good night. God bless you all. Darren Weeks tomorrow night. Don't forget Darren.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mined supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better